You're listening to the Incarcerated Christian Podcast, where we shine light on the dark side of Christianity and how it affects people and communities. I'm Robin Mitchell Stroud, and I'm here with my co-host, Deborah Levy Martinelli. We'll be covering a variety of topics, from individual survivor stories, including our own, to the influence of religion on our national politics. To learn more about the podcast, visit our website, theincarceratedchristian.com, or connect with us on TikTok and Instagram at The Incarcerated Christian, and on Twitter at @TICC_podcast_. Now, on to the show. Hello, listeners. This episode is one of two in which our guest is Terry Wildman. He is the lead translator, general editor, and project manager of the First Nations version of the New Testament. When we first chatted with Terry, we had only 30 minutes, in which we were barely able to scratch the surface of a fascinating discussion about this remarkable work. He graciously agreed to come back for a second episode so we could learn more. That episode will air May 17. So here is the first of our two conversations with Terry Wildman.
Our guest today is Terry Wildman, who is Ojibwe and Yaqui. Terry is the lead translator, general editor, and project manager of the First Nations version of the New Testament. He also serves as the director of spiritual growth and leadership development for Native InterVarsity and is the founder of Rain Ministries. Terry previously served as a pastor and worship leader. We'll have links in the show notes for more information on Terry, the First Nations version, and these organizations. Welcome, Terry.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. It feels really good to be here today with you and your listeners. I feel like honored that you'd have me come in and just, you know, say a few words and answer a few questions. My wife and I live in Maricopa, Arizona. We live on the traditional lands of the Pima and the Tohono-O'odham. And my native ancestry includes both Ojibwe and Yaqui. That's just a basic introduction. I like to give a land acknowledgement. But I did grow up in Michigan, which is the land of the Anishinaabe, that's where the Ojibwe come from. But I now live in Arizona. It's good to be here, coming to you from this warm climate. I don't know where you're at, but
we are in Oklahoma, Stormin' Norman, Oklahoma. So it's actually a beautiful day here today. We've had some really cold weather. And just welcome. I feel like we should do a land acknowledgement of where we are. Would you like for us to do that?
If you'd like to, be happy for that. There's lots of tribes there. If you know the specific tribe of your area, that would be great.
We do. We are recording on the traditional lands of the Caddo Nation and the Wichita and affiliated tribes. It was once part of the Muscogee Creek and Seminole Nations. Should we call you Mr. Wildman?
Just Terry.
Terry?
Oh, Terry.
Please call me Terry.
Terry, the way that we came to know about the First Nations version was through an article that was posted on Twitter through the Christians for Social Action social media. I mean, like it's their Twitter account. And I was so taken with it. I ordered a copy immediately, got it in, started reading it, and could not stop reading it. Now, I was raised a Southern Baptist in Oklahoma. I've read the Bible, you know, I feel like I'm biblical literate. I read it lots of times, and I never could not stop reading the Bible. And it's because of the storytelling, and I even commented to our elder son, I can't stop reading this. This is amazing to me. It was so deeply moving to want to read the Bible again because, you know, part of our platform is we kind of deal with some of the darker, we want to shine a healing light on some of the dark elements. And part of that was, you know, being sort of Bible thumped my whole life a little bit. And so I had resisted going and reading the Bible like I used to when I was growing up. And this version helped me to dive in again. So I have to personally thank you for that. So thank you. Thank you. And then I called Deborah and said, we must have him on. So we usually ask all of our guests, what was your religious upbringing?
Well, when I was young, I didn't have any particular religious upbringing until I was in my teenage years, just graduated from high school. That's when a Baptist preacher came to my mom and dad's house and witnessed to us. And I just kind of sat by and listened to my dad argue with him, you know. And, yeah. But over time, you know, that message kind of took root in my, like the seed of that message took root. And I began to see, you know, my own life, my own need of someone like Jesus to rescue me and from myself, basically, and help me be the kind of a person he wants me to be. And so that was you know, so I, for a while I was a Baptist, then I became Assembly of God, and then I became charismatic. And then I just have this eclectic experience in relationship to many different churches, religious organizations. And so I've served as a pastor for many years and in different places, on reservations, off reservations. And so it's been an amazing journey, but I think I'm richer for it in all these different kinds of organizations and people and denominations that I've been part of has enriched me, and it's helped me to see others in a good way and in a different way.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that your pastoring is the genesis for this idea for the First Nations version of a New Testament? And I mean, we know how long you worked to bring it to fruition, you and the people that worked with you. So what would you say is the genesis? Is that it?
Yeah, I was living on the Hopi Reservation in northern Arizona with the Hopi people, who are very beautiful people, very traditional people. And so I was just learning more and more of the culture. Since I wasn't raised actually in my own native culture, I had been over the years reconnecting. I've had mentors who have mentored me in the native ways, who have given me my native names, and I've gone through naming ceremonies and things like that. But while I was living in the Hopi Reservation and pastoring a church on Sunlight, it was called Sunlight Mission on Second Mesa and on Hopi, that's where the idea started. I began to see that the regular translations weren't really connecting. And I was looking for a way to see, you know, what's going on here? Why isn't it connecting? I found a Hopi New Testament in the storehouse in the church I was pastoring there. And I looked at this Hopi, and I said, how come no one's using this? And I asked around, and they said, well, we can't read it. We don't know how to read our own language, you know? And so that was kind of the beginning of, oh my. And then I discovered that across the board, across Turtle Island, which we call North America, this is also true. Most of our native people can't read all these translations in their heart language, because of the assimilation policies, because of the boarding schools, the church participation, all these different things. We were never taught to read our language. Or if there were some of us, it's so few, such a 2% maybe, you know, 1%. And so, yes, that was the beginning. And the idea didn't start right away of, oh, yeah, let's do a New Testament. I mean, I felt like, who am I to translate a New Testament? You know, I was never formally trained that way. So we started out, my wife and I are recording artists, and we record music that has a little bit of a bridge music that captures both the cultures and kind of bridges the cultures. And so I was already writing songs that were already using more of a native, what I would call a native friendly language use in English. And since I found out that all of our native people, 99%, are speaking English now, it made sense to me that there should be an English translation done with native people in mind, with words that better connect to their heart language, even though it's English. So that was kind of how it started. My wife and I did a CD called The Great Story from the Sacred Book. That was right around 2008. So this started in 2003, the idea. I did research. I experimented with rewording scriptures and using it in Bible studies and using it in our ministry, and it was being better received. And so we did the CD From Creation to Christ, and that CD was submitted for the Native American Music Awards, and it won the Best Spoken Word.
Congratulations.
Yes, congrats.
And so I felt, and it's become online, it's our best seller of all of our music CDs. We have about 6 music CDs. But I noticed, so I knew it was connecting, and a lot of Native people would tell me, oh, every night when we go to bed, we put the CD in and our kids listen to it, and they listen to the storytelling from Creator to Christ, you know? And so that was kind of the beginning, but I did a lot of research. I could not find anywhere or anyone who had done a Native translation for Native people in English, worded. So eventually that led to, no one else is doing it. Maybe I'm supposed to do it. And so that was the beginning of it. There's more to that story, but...
Yeah, it was so fun to read about your process, the who, what, where, when, and how, which we will absolutely add links to that for people to go and read about that. It's pretty remarkable. Can we go back to what you talked about with, first of all, I love heart language, but when you were talking about how using language that would better connect, that was one of the things. Well, there are a couple of things here. So the naming of people and places has, you know, helped me to understand the New Testament stories in a way that I didn't understand reading and studying them, you know, all my growing up years and beyond. So I'd love for you to speak to that a little bit. And also the way that some concepts like sin are described. So one of the most striking things I read in an interview with you prior is you don't capture sin that's tied, you know, going back to your comments about the assimilation practices in the boarding schools where sin was described as the length of your hair and the use of your language and anything that was related to Native culture, that was sin. And that is, you're using bad hearts and wrongdoings and broken ways for sin, which frees me because I think I don't have assimilation practices and boarding school experiences that you do, but I can certainly relate to that oppression in my own experience. So would you speak to the importance of recapturing language, both from the standpoint of words like sin, but also from the standpoint of the naming of things?
Yes, since I had done a lot of study and been a pastor and taken some Greek and Hebrew classes, I knew that the meanings of names and place in the Bible, the names had meaning, and even the place names have meaning. And so, knowing that in our Native cultures, traditionally, all of our names had meaning. So I thought, what a great bridge to actually bring out the meanings of the name. And so that's why we did that. And you've hit on what has been the most impactful part of the translation is using names, especially for our Native people, because immediately, I mean, some of them said, I just love reading the genealogy, which nobody loves reading the genealogy.
That's what I experienced. I'm like, I can't stop reading this. This is fantastic.
So that was important. And so Jesus becomes Creator, sets free. That's basically the meaning of his name in the Hebrew. Of course, Paul is small man because his name means small. And Peter stands on the rock. So what we did is we looked into the original meaning. We looked into the Hebrew and the Greek. And then we gave it a little bit of a Native feel to the name that still conveyed the meaning, yet it more Native friendly. And so we use Creator and Great Spirit and different terminology like that. And so the same thing with naming the Creator, the Supreme Being, God is great spirit, creator, one above us all, the maker of life, the giver of breath. You know, all of these are different ways different tribes have talked about the supreme being. And so we did that. Then, of course, broken other words like kingdom. We didn't think kingdom was a good word because of the way it's been used improperly in the past. And so we said, we researched, we talked to Native theologians, we read books by Native theologians, and we settled on Creator's good road for the kingdom.
I love that.
A good road. Yeah. It's a way of life. You know, it's not about having power over others. It's about living a life in a way that respects others, that respects the Creator, that loves, you know, love is the primary motivation for walking this road, you know, and it's a spiritual road and a spiritual way of life. And again, like sin, broken ways is actually a better way to understand sin because people have different ideas of what sin is. And so depending on what church you were raised in, these things were sin, these things are not sin. But you go to a different church, you got a different list. And in our boarding schools, it was a sin to pray in our language. It was a sin to wear our hair long as men. It was a sin to do different things that were part of our culture. So we wanted to get rid of those trigger words, those words that instantly put up barriers. And so that's what we worked very hard at. And our whole creative team, we came together and we went through 185 key terms that Wycliffe translators talk about. And we said, here's what we're going to call that in English to relate best to our native people. It just happens to turn out that it's touching many people beyond our native people also. And that's been a surprise, but also it's been something we love because it. I love how people are valuing how our native people view the Creator, the Supreme Being, and so it's. I think it will help break down walls between our peoples, and that's been a big hope, and it seems to be accomplishing that in some good ways.
Well, I absolutely believe it will. I feel love toward the New Testament again, and it's been a long time since I've felt that way. So, yeah, spot on. And that taking that, that judgment piece out of it, especially related to God. Oh, it's probably why I'm so drawn to it. So, I'm a beneficiary of this work that you've done for, you know, Native people. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. That leads me to, a question. So I was born, I was born, yes. I was raised a Baptist and a fundamentalist, you know, tradition. So we're biblical literalists, and the King James Version is the only right version of the Bible.
Oh, my.
And yeah, exactly. Oh, my. So one of the things that I was so curious about when I read is you don't do a word by word translation like a literalist translation. I'm just curious if you've had pushback from biblical literalists. Have you? I'm just curious. Like, I feel like my people would be like, that's not a legitimate version. It makes me think of another thing that I read in one of the interviews where somebody said, this sounds so native that people aren't going to believe it's the Bible.
Right.
And I'm like, well, just because it's not literalist, I don't know that it would count, you know, in the tradition that raised me.
Of course, there's going to be people that don't like it. But what has really surprised us is so far the pushback has been minor.
That's great.
Very minor.
That's great.
And I expect it will come. We're hoping to get this on Bible Gateway online. And we expect the more it gets out there, the more pushback might come. But so far, there's been very little. There's been a once in a while from a King James only person, they'll say that this is a bad translation. But I think if you go onto Amazon, I think there's only one person or maybe two people out of several hundred, you know, that said something like that.
Uh-huh.
And stuff. So, and there's been a few Native people from a traditional perspective that have questioned it. And but I've been able to answer them in a way that tries to honor their perspective, but also to say, here's why we did it, you know, and they just, okay, you know, they kind of backed off and said, you know, it was on a Facebook post.
Right.
But yeah, it's really surprised us. And what surprised us too is the theological community, the theologians and the people with doctorates and everything, they love it, you know, and we're getting a lot of positive feedback that this is actually a really good translation. One native pastor who's using it exclusively now, when he first found it, he was like blown away. He says, this can't be, I love it, but is this really a good translation? He's Southern Baptist, and he gave it to a Southern Baptist Greek scholar. And that guy says, this is a good translation. You can trust it. I thought, wow, you know, this is great. Even conservative people love it. And the reason is it is a good translation. We had a consultant with 50 years experience with Wycliffe and One Book of Canada that made sure that we were staying within the language parameters of the Greek, things like that. But it's not word for word. It's more idea for idea.
That was going to be my follow-up question. You just grabbed it right from me, and I'm glad that you did. I love the idea of a thought-for-thought translation. Can you expand on that just a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. All of us hear English a little bit differently, depending on how we were raised, depending on where we were raised. If I was raised in the southern part, some of the southern states, there are words and ways words are put together that they understand, but I wouldn't. If I wasn't raised there, I went to England and I heard English people say things that I had no idea what they were talking about. And they were speaking the English language and in Ireland and different places. So it's important that we take into account culture, that we take into account how a person hears these words and what they mean to the person hearing them. And the best example I can give would be in what we call the Lord's Prayer. We talk about the daily bread, as so many translations say, daily bread. And a lot of people understand that Jesus wasn't talking about literal bread. He used bread as a metaphor, as a way of expressing something else. And so what we did is we looked for things in our native cultures that meant the same thing. So we have the elk, the buffalo, the salmon, the corn, the squash, the wild rice. Those are equivalents to what Jesus would have, and a Hebrew person would have understood bread to be. You know, the staples of life, you know, and also metaphorically, what we need spiritually. And in our native culture, all these animals have a spiritual and natural usage. And so it all fits together in a really good way. So that's an example of how that works.
Terry, would you be willing to read the Lord's Prayer for us? So that our listeners, that would be great.
All right. He gives his followers a prayer. O great Spirit, our Father from above, we honor your name as sacred and holy. Bring your good road to us, where the beauty of your ways in the spirit world above is reflected in the earth below. Provide for us day by day the elk, the buffalo, the salmon, the corn, the squash, and the wild rice, all the things we need for each day. Release us from the things we have done wrong in the same way we release others for the things done wrong to us. Guide us away from the things that tempt us to stray from your good road, and set us free from the evil one and his worthless ways. Aho, may it be so.
Aho.
Beautiful.
So wonderful. And I was writing down as you were reading, release us from the things we have done wrong, instead of, you know, forgive us our sins for you know, I just, the difference, that because forgive us our sins means that you are a sinner. You know, it's like, like release us from the things we've done wrong, that takes the kind of the judgment out of it. I think it's so lovely and it makes you want to be a better person. So, it's so good. And listeners, the whole thing is like that. It's so great. It just, I seriously could not stop reading it. So just thank you for that.
Thank you for reading that to us. I'm going to interject a question because it depends on our time availability. So I want to make sure we get this in. This seems like a good spot. What is your personal favorite spiritual practice?
My personal favorite spiritual practice is learning how to love my wife.
That was unexpected.
In the same way God, Creator, loves me. Loving my family, loving people who disagree with me.
Oh, yeah.
And who sometimes even do me wrong. That's, to me, that's the most powerful spiritual practice, is learning how to love and forgive.
Ah, so good.
And that's a 24/7 practice.
Absolutely.
Learning how to love and forgive. That is so powerful, which also starts with ourself, right?
And I
don't say that flippantly. I mean, I cannot emphasize enough, the Bible that I was raised with wasn't a Bible that I felt loved me, you know, and I didn't love because I felt, you know, it framed me to be a particular kind of person. This translation helped, that just totally reverses that. It's so great. I just can't emphasize that enough. So thank you. It really does help with self-love and love. I see Deborah's trying to wrap us.
<She's> like, this, Terry, is my role, as our listeners know. I have to wrap things up. I know. We hope that you will come back and join us in the very near future.
This is so great. And honestly, the process, I know we did not talk about the process for creating this translation. It was so rigorous and broad and involved so many people. We will absolutely put links for people so that they can learn more about that. Thank you so much for your time.
Miigwech, bisendawiyeg. That's Ojibwe for thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We picked that in.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Incarcerated Christian Podcast. We invite you to rate and review our show. And remember, you can find this interview and others on our website, theincarceratedchristian.com, or anywhere you access podcasts. Don't forget to connect with us on Instagram and TikTok at The Incarcerated Christian, and on Twitter at @TICC_podcast_. You can find more information about us and our show on our website. Again, that's theincarceratedchristian.com. Until next time, go forth in love and light.